Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Mike's on. He's ready to go.
On the Fan.
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on. Mike's on.
All right, hour two on this Sunday morning, on this Mother's Day, Sunday, May 10th. A little warmer today after it snowed yesterday in this crazy year that 2020 is. Come to you from WFAN New York, CBS Sports Radio across the country. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is there with you. Scott Pioli joins us, the multiple-time NFL Executive of the Year, who joins us on this Mother's Day morning. Busy day for him. Scott, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. Thanks for having me again. And, yeah, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there today.
You know, Scott, a lot of talk about leagues and trying to open and everything else. When you look at the block that is, and, you know, Tomlin weighed in and said, listen, all 32 have to open the same time, no advantages to anybody, everything has to be done that way or it can't happen. If you look at the block May 18th to June 26th, before you guys go on your vacation, before you come back and open camp, what in your mind is the thing that, if you got to prioritize, what's the most essential thing that you think a team has to get accomplished in that time period?
Getting the rookies up to speed. Getting the rookies and the first-year players, you know, players that you've acquired via free agency, people that are new to the program, getting them acclimated to getting to know them and then getting them acclimated in the system, which is obviously a very tough thing this time of year or this year because no one can get their people there. However, for the people that are first-time coaches or first-year coaches in new situations, it's going to be even more difficult. This is, again, the time where, you know, when rookie minicamp starts, you know, players are going to work out and they're going to work on their own. The real professionals are going to get themselves prepared. Do you like to have them in the off-season program? Absolutely, because you can, they can bond, they can get to know one another better, especially if there's new players. But the big focus is on the rookies and the new players and getting them acclimated to the system. Or if you've got a change in coordinators, you know, getting the entire offense or defense on the same page with whatever is new.
Do you treat veteran newcomers the same as rookies, even though they understand the league, even though they're independent contractors, they might be mature players, they might be very good at their position. Do you treat them as new faces the same as your rookies because they're new, or do you treat them differently?
Well, you treat them new in the sense that you help them get acclimated to the area. They spend a lot of time with the player engagement director. You know, the person used to be called player programs director is now player engagement. So just getting them familiarized with the area, with traffic patterns, you spend extra time with them in that sense, but for the most part, and you get them acclimated to the some of the newness of, again, getting to know the coaches and the style and some of the people around the building, but it's not like rookies. Rookies have to be ramped up, and a lot of times, as we all kiddingly say, you know, rookies don't know what they don't know, and there's a much steeper learning curve where you've got guys coming from college and having been on scholarship. And there's this new, you know, new realization that this is their jobs, and they're not just there on scholarship, and they've got even more free time than they've ever had. So it's a lot. It is a lot different for the veterans, but you do have to get them acclimated in certain in certain ways similar to rookies.
If you had to do this virtually, if you had to teach this stuff to your new players virtually, if you had to meet virtually versus being together during this springtime, is that going to be a huge detriment that you're not on the field and that you have to meet that way? Would that be a huge drawback?
You know, I think it is for certain players, Mike, because I think, you know, something we've learned during the last 20 years plus is that players learn differently, right? And one of the things that came to light years ago is how certain players learn differently. Some players could read a playbook, understand, and put it out on the field. Some players need to have walkthroughs, physical walkthroughs on the field in order for their, you know, for them to memorize things. So the players who learn differently than being able to just hear a talk or see things, you know, on the old chalkboard that is now the grease board that is now, you know, drawing on the film, it is going to be a little bit different. Depending on the learning style of the player, it's going to have some, for some players it'll be fine, for some players it'll be prohibitive, because the difficult part is now you have less of an opportunity in person to find out how a player can or cannot learn.
If you can't have the team meet as a whole, no less get on the field before, say, training camp starts, is that going to be an enormous drawback for teams, or do you think it's something they can deal with?
It's something they can deal with, Mike, because, again, I go back to, you know, the lockout in 2011. I go back to that year. Is it detrimental? Yes, but when something is detrimental to all 32 teams or it's the same way, where that's where I agree with Mike Tomlin completely. Whatever we do has to be done 32 teams across the board. And if everybody is at the same disadvantage, at least it's mitigated somewhat where the competition had all the same limitations. So is it going to slow things down? Yeah, it will. But again, I look back to that 2011 year. Mike, remember, once that season ended, the lockout started, and coaches were not allowed to contact players. No club employee was allowed to contact players or their representatives for that entire time. And I don't think it ended, Mike, until like August 10th or 11th. So it was even more, there was an even greater absence of the relationships during that time. And then, oh, by the way, training camp started. We had never met our rookies. And then all of a sudden it's 100 miles an hour up and going on August 10th. So they're at least having the opportunity to do this virtual teaching and virtual training, and they're getting more out of it and more into it this year than they did in 2010. So in an odd way, things are ahead of what the 2010 season was.
Let me ask you, if you have a team, let's take the Giants, and we're talking with Scott Pioli, of course. If you have the Giants...
I'm sorry, I said 2010. I meant the 2011.
Season. That's fine. If you have a team like the Giants who you know well, and they have a new coach, a new staff, they have new coordinators, you have a whole, so everything's new. Everything is new. A second year quarterback, a bunch of young players you're counting on, new coordinators, new staff, the whole thing. What is the most important? Do you think that it's going to be harder for him to get his coaches all on the same page and get what they want to do down this spring? Or is that going to be harder than it would normally be? Or do you feel he can adequately do that? Is that going to be harder, or is the player part going to be harder for a first-year head coach?
I think that, to me, I think the most difficult part, Mike, is going to be the relationship part. Right, where in the off season there's so much going on, and knowing how head coaches now and assistant coaches, they're in the office, and when players are in the office or in and around doing the off season workout, those relationships start to get cultivated. Players start to get a sense of what a personality, what the real personality of someone is, and what the real style of someone is in terms of their coach, and the coaches can determine that about the players too. They can start to learn over the months of March, April, May, June. You know, it's so much easier to get to know people in person when you can spend actual time with them and see in-person behaviors. to me, that's going to be the most difficult part. The teaching will be the teaching. Again, all these players that are coming in have all played football before. They've been in systems and college systems. You know, the way that colleges run things now, that learning curve should not be that steep, right? Especially if the coaches are good coaches and they're good educators, which I think I believe that the group at the New York Giants, I think it's a really talented group. To me, what's going to be difficult is the players getting to know their coaches and the coaches getting to know the players as people. Because, again, it comes down to relationships and motivation in this game, Mike. And they're going to now be in this situation, again, just like 2011 when it was new for coaches, for new coaches then. That's going to be the toughest part, the absence of human interaction. Because, again, in this game, Mike, you have to make such incredible demands of players to do things that are not normal, normal human behavior. When you don't have a trusting relationship, it's a little bit more difficult.
And you got to figure, I mean, if you go and you bring in a Garrett, you're a judge and you're a first-year head coach, you're bringing in a guy who's been a quarterback in this league for a long time, and then has been a head coach in this league for a long time, you got to figure you're letting him run his offense. You got to figure that's what you decided to do when you brought him in. So you got to figure that's part of the deal.
Absolutely, and I think that is such a huge advantage for Joe Judge. I am a big supporter, believer in Jason Garrett. I've known Jason for years, respect him as a coach, as a teacher, as a person.
Wonderful guy. Yeah. I've always told people that as nice a guy as you can talk about, too. I mean, a lot of people 100%. Thought he wasn't tough with players and stuff like that, but a wonderful guy, as nice a guy and a first-class guy all the way, completely.
You don't have to have, sometimes people get personalities and public personalities, and or facial reactions on sidelines on Sundays confused with tough. Now, and what is tough? Here's what I do know is Jason is very smart and he has high expectations and he's very demanding. Just because he doesn't react a certain way publicly that we see doesn't mean that he's not tough on people and doesn't mean that he's not demanding on people. I think it's an unfair characterization that's happened to Jason over the years. And again, I've seen him work. I've been around him and he is demanding, and he is he just expresses himself differently. And he is as fine a person as I've met in football, and he's a tremendous coach. And I think – I love that Joe Judge did this, because to me what that showed, Joe is confident and trusting, because he knows that he wanted a good football mind. And for him to show the humility and the confidence – to bring in someone who had just got done being a head coach and feel confident and comfortable in his skin, I thought that told us and spoke volumes about the person that Joe Judge is. I thought it was a brilliant hire by him. And Joe also knows that he's now got someone to lean on, because, when you jump into that head coaching role or that general manager's job, there's no one is ever prepared for those jobs. There's going to be things come up, and you want to have someone to bounce things off of. And Jason's going to be that person, not only offensively, but as a head coach whisperer to help Joe out.
So your feeling is, if they don't get a lot of time, and it doesn't look like they will, a lot of time on the field before training camp, that's something that you think the teams can very adequately overcome, right?
And they will, because, again, everyone's going to be on the same schedule. And I go back to watching 2011. I was a general manager at that point in time. And when everyone has the same starting point, it's now, I think the beginning of the season might have a little more sloppy football, but I don't think it's going to be, I don't think any one group is going to have more sloppy football, unless it's just a sloppy program to begin with. So it's still going to be good football. I really believe it's going to be fine. This isn't the first time we've been through this. Again, going back even further, when there's been strikes and there's been replacement players, and we've seen this before. And I think we'll be fine. I think we'll be fine.
One last one today, and that deals with the schedule. You guys know, year in and year out, by the format, what the schedule basically is the next year. I mean, you guys know who you know all but two of your games. They're going.
You know your opponents going in.
So you've already you know that you can get guys doing work beforehand. You could do all that. When you finally see the sequencing of games, when you finally see when you're playing whom, how your schedule breaks out, who you're playing early, who you're playing late, how much does that change things, or does it not change things at all for you guys?
It minimally. I mean, the only thing it changes is when you sit down, the head coach and the general manager or the coaches, the head coach meets with the coaches. Hey, is there anything that anyone sees here that you think we have to pay attention to from a logistics standpoint or from a planning standpoint? Usually not a whole lot. Then the head coach and the general manager get together and they talk about if you're an East Coast team and you've got back-to-back West Coast games, or you've got a West Coast game back East and then West Coast, you have to come up with a plan of, do you want to stay on the West?
Do you like to stay? The Giants have that this year. The Jets have that this year, back-to-back weeks. Do you like that, or you don't like that?
I do like it. You know, it's funny because every place that I've been, we've tried it both ways, and I kind of like the idea, especially with younger players now, right? Younger players like freshness. They like change, whereas in the years ago, we liked rhythm, cadence, consistency of schedule and being in the same place. Everything was Sunday at 1 o'clock, so you prepared for Sunday at 1 o'clock. But because this younger generation is so used to change and they like it and actually invigorates them, I think it invigorates all of us. Having that back-to-back time when you're on the West Coast and getting in some sort of pattern on the West Coast rather than doing the extra travel, it's a good idea. Because again, what people when you speak to sports scientists, also, one of the biggest problems with flying and the jet lag thing is not just the time zone thing. It's the way that when you're in one of those tubes at however many thousand feet, your body's getting dehydrated. There's things that happen to the body, bruising and blood flow and dehydration. Those things all impact the body. So staying someplace and without having to do too much travel, I really like the idea of it for the body and the mind. And sometimes it's good because you can do bonding on the road with the team. You do team events, things that you wouldn't normally do because players aren't thinking about having to get home to their families. So what are you going to do? You're going to hang out and bond with your team. So I really do like the idea of spending time on the West Coast. Now, and then that becomes a big investment by the owner. The owner has to decide, okay, we're going to spend this money and we see the investment and hopefully it'll pay off.
How about the idea of when your bye is? I know people always talk about that. I know that coaches used to tell me, I like it halfway of the season, having the season start the day training camp starts. I like it halfway through the year from there, not halfway through the year from September. I like it halfway through the year from when training camp starts. Did you have a time where you like the bye to be, or it doesn't matter?
Yeah, to me, Mike, and myself and most of the coaches that I worked with, we liked it middle of the year or just after the middle of the season, to give a breather, to give a rest, to let have that extra week then for the bodies to heal. But then I remember a couple times where that's what we wanted, and then the team got on a roll, and we had momentum as a team. It's like, I wish we didn't have the bye now where we could just, enjoy this momentum and keep things rolling. But I just, I think a lot of it has to do with I'd like to have it at that middle point of the year or the start of the second half of the season. However, if you have a really rough training camp, and you've got a lot of players injured, there may be some second-guessing saying, wow, I wish we were coming out of training camp with an earlier bye week so we could get healthy. But it's I would prefer, again, mid-season.
And one last one. Jets play Dolphins 2 weeks in a row. Any advantage for anybody or disadvantage for anybody playing the same team? There's a bye in between, but playing the same team two games in a row, there'll be a bye in between?
Well, I think what it is, it's a break for the coaches, quite honestly, where they don't have to get distracted with the next opponent, where they have this. To me, it's going to be not a mini bye, but there's this opportunity where they're going to be focusing on the same team 2 weeks, back-to-back games. With that week in between, they can actually take a breath, and it may not be, midnight in the office because you're going to be game planning against the same team, the same people, the same system for those back-to-back weeks without another game in between to get your mind and thoughts. So I think actually what it'll be in an odd way easier. It could be and should be easier hours that week for people to recharge and get some rest and then maybe be getting a head start on the next opponent.
All right, listen, thanks very much. Enjoy your day. We'll talk next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Scott Pioli, of course, when we come back, a lot more to do. We'll also get some calls in back after this.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.